Facebook at certain moments had that, or certain message boards did, but they were all within walls. When it's a free, completely open space, imitating a public square, it's a bordel. It's a it's just like a mess, right?
Yeah, but what does it mean, imitating a public square? I mean, that would be chaos, you know, just people shouting at each other randomly.
But that's what social media is, basically, right? It's like most of social media is unwalled and just a kind of a free-for-all where you shout into space, and maybe you have a conversation with someone, and then someone else comes along and goes, hey, you're a fascist, you're a racist, and you're like, whoa, where the hell did you come from? Were you listening to what we were saying, right? So it's like that. If you were to put it into meat space, that's what it would look like. So anyway, my point about you know, to return to Habermas is just that, yeah, it's a kind of ironic realization of his vision, which hasn't turned out right. So he needs to then step back and go, okay, we need to put some rules around this thing, right? To appeal to some authority, yeah. to go, how do we actually have democratization of media and to provide for, you know, true deliberative communication. Hello, BungaCast, Reading Club. This is what we're doing today. This is the Global Politics Podcast at the end of history, if you don't know by now. This is the Reading Club exclusively for patrons in the Grand Corruption tier and our benefactors as well at the State Capture tier. We are your bitch and eternally grateful for it. We are going to be continuing this 2024 Reading Club. It's the second edition. And we are going to be dealing with, well, one of the themes, right? So we've got three themes for the Reading Club for the start of the year, which we're orienting our reading around and well, your reading and your listening around, which is Russia, past and present, the rise and fall of nations, and intellectuals, or rather the intelligentsia and the public. And the book we're dealing with today falls very squarely in that category. Already the previous one, which we discussed last week, or rather last month, Benedict Anderson's Imagined Communities, also relates and touches upon this notion, discusses the relationship between the intelligentsia and the public in the rise and fall of nations. But today we're dealing with a kind of a, what is it, George, a re-up of a classic? Why don't you tell us?
Yeah, it's a gritty, dark reboot by Jürgen Habermas.
Sequelitis. Sequelitis hits even German critical theory.
Yeah, I mean, Marx started off with Capital. Like, how many volumes would he have done? He would have been churning them out as his kind of tentpole summer blockbuster every year.
Aren't we all in the Capital extended universe?
Yeah, I guess we are. It's taken over now. And it's, you know, no signs of stopping, even though the products it's churning out are worse.
But there's a new translation of Capital coming out. I saw yesterday, which people are excited about and talking up as not just a thing for Marxologists, but should be a thing. I don't know. I don't know if you have any insight into this. Well,
I hadn't heard about that. I have to say it doesn't fill me with enthusiasm. What was wrong with the old Lawrence and Wishart, old Penguin
right.
ones?
Or indeed, yeah, Lawrence and Wishart and Penguin. And I remember, like, you had that Lars T. Lee, you know, that moment of Lenin scholarship with Lars T. Lee, where he kind of said that they were as if we change the, you know, if we understand the interpretation of particular words like consciousness and vanguard and professional and so on in Lenin's writings, we have an entirely new, different understanding of Lenin, and that's going to transform, you know, everything, in fact.
Yeah.
Guess what?
I mean,
it kind of didn't change. It didn't actually change anything at all. So it's hard to see like what difference a shift in emphasis or, you know, more a kind of modernized German translation or modernized translation of German is going to of Marx's 19th century German, what difference it's really going to make. So
yeah, but you can imagine already the blurb, like this new translation, which gives us insights into how to solve the crisis of democracy and address climate change and sort of thing. And it's going to be like, well,
that's
actually,
right, that's exactly what it will be.
Actually, if you think this means value form rather than value container or something, then I don't know. Sorry,
that's
I shouldn't
right,
be
yes.
so.
No, that's right.
Dilettante,
that is
really,
that is exactly what
might,
it will be like.
They might
that
give
is exactly
Marx
what
riz,
it will be like,
though. You know, might have some riz.
But if you understand the value, like George says, if you understand the value container, then actually you will see that Marx believed in deep ecology, like from 1830. In fact.
Alex, did you say it will have some riz?
Well, I say he might give Marx riz and maybe make that superstructure really based. So all these things to look forward to.
One superstructure is already based because they interpenetrate dialectically. We do Jakubowski or whatever. Secondly, Marx already had riz, right? He was a very charismatic person, from what I can tell. Mm. But yeah, you know, you can always take that riz up to the next level also. I would imagine.
Well, I guess he had to riz up his patron.
This kind of new translation will clearly show that campus is the battleground of revolutionary politics and climate change.
I mean, campus just means field, right, from Latin.
Yeah,
so
well, there you
it
go.
Is
and
the field
climate
of
change,
struggle.
Climate change is the central contradiction of capitalism and always has been. So,
yeah,
memory
I mean... We can still hope that all those academics on campuses will go to a different sort of field when we get the chance to put them out for some agricultural labor. No offense to any of our patrons who are academically, I was going to say inclined,
or indeed if they're agricultural laborers. No
yeah.
offense.
No, we actually like those patrons right. of ours. Sorry, I should actually bring us back on track a little and say, what is this book that we're going to be discussing? Yes, so it's Jürgen Habermas's A New Structural Transformation of the Public Sphere and Deliberative Politics. So as Alex did allude to, this is a reboot of Habermas's 1962 book, and we'll get into that in a bit. And it's much shorter than that earlier book, which, as Habermas actually notes, is still his most popular. I would say it's more of an essay with some kind of clarificatory material than the kind of theoretical opus that he's more known for. So a bit of biographical detail on Habermas just to kick things off. So he was born in Dusseldorf in Germany in 1929. His father was a Nazi sympathizer and leader of the Cologne Chamber of Industry and Commerce, and Habermas himself found himself in the Hitler Youth at age 15 and
himself. I think the point is he was conscripted, George. He didn't like, you know, kind of, like it was a wild night out. And then the next morning I like found myself in a Hitler Youth club.
Or indeed that he was lost and then he joined the Hitler Youth and he really found himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could have been how I meant it. Like in a not Heideggerian way, but he actually discovered his true calling I can't remember what the name of the sort of Hitler Youth that he was in, but I think there is, you know, you don't want to kind of generalize or take too much from this youthful experience of his, but the German war experience is certainly not completely unconnected to one of the, I would say, guiding political projects of Habermas's work, which is this, I guess, attempt to think beyond German nationalism. How do German theorists, German historians reckon with their country's past? And for Habermas, this was in the development of a series of theories about, I guess, cosmopolitanism, transnationalism, and a kind of a turn towards Europe. That's not what this book's about, but I think that is a useful bit of context for listeners.
But also, I mean, it's rehabilitation and reconstruction for Germany. So it's not just a reckoning with the past, but an active process. I mean, Habermas is a very old man, and he's seen a lot of the 20th century. as indicated by the fact he was conscripted into the Hitler Youth in the closing days of the Second World War. And so a lot of his life, you know, was the post-war period between, between the end of the Second World War and German reunification. And so that's the period of kind of reconstruction, rehabilitation, the German economic miracle, and then reunification and everything that has come since. So only to stress, you know, it's not just a kind of a historical reconstruction, but in so much as his philosophical project has political dimensions, it was a very active part of building the Federal Republic, at least intellectually.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think, you know, I actually probably buried the lead, or like, he was born in, 1929. So he's now in his mid-90s. And given that, as I'll explain in a bit more detail, this book is essentially about social media. This is, he has seen, this isn't his first book that he's writing as a youngster. He's seen the, as you were saying, Phil, the progression of, of the 20th century, and, probably one of the, I would say, oldest still writing critical theorists or philosophers.
Hi there, friends. This is the end of a sample from an episode available only to subscribers at patreon.com/bungacast. For $7 a month, subscribers get at least 4 original exclusive episodes a month, featuring Alex, George, and Phil, as well as our regular contributors, Alex Gurevich, Amberly Frost, Catherine New, and Lee Phillips. We've got episodes on current affairs, extended interviews, exclusive episodes on theory, history, culture, docuseries, analyses of film, and our responses to listeners' questions and criticisms. And for $12 a month, you also get access to the very special BungaCast Reading Club, where we present the key books and essays necessary for understanding the world today, how we got here, and where we might be going. Of course, if you just want to try us out, there's also a $3 entry tier giving you one exclusive episode a month. We do hope you'll join us. These are turbulent times, and ideologically confused ones as well. We tried to find some political clarity so that we might move beyond the age of bunga bunga.